Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yep, sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. Beautiful day, not too hot, just perfect, like, summer's day, really, here in Australia, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was good. I was up on level 6, too, out of a building, a nice breeze coming through, so worked well for me. It's been a tough week, though. This is my first full five-day week in what feels like a really long time. I'm day 3. It feels like day 33. Prayers sent in my way, please.
Yeah, sorry. Real sorry to hear that. I've got a bit of the reverse going on at the moment. I was off site yesterday for training. And then today and tomorrow I'm actually in the city for some professional learning. And then I go back in Friday for some more training. So I've only doing me normal 9 to 5 on Monday. And the benefits of going into the city Wednesday, Thursday this week, get to hit up my favorite pastry shop. So been really good, really strict with the diet recently, but I'm not an idiot. And if there's an opportunity to go to my favorite pastry shop in the morning, I'm doing it. And so I'll be doing that again tomorrow morning as well.
What's the shop and what's the go-to?
Oh, yeah, great question. And this is a public service announcement. And if you take nothing else from this episode, take this information. It's on Little Lonsdale. It's a Japanese-French patisserie joint. It's called Baker Mono. Real little joint, but you just can't miss it. It's the best joint in Melbourne. And my go-to there is definitely their ham and cheese croissant. Everything there is good, but my go-to is the ham and cheese croissant.
All right, sounds good. We'll have to hit that up next time I'm in the city.
You have to.
Got a bit of feedback from last week's pod. A lot of people were saying that the second half of it might have been the best content we've ever put out.
Just before we go any further, are you recording this one, Alan?
Yeah, I'm recording this one. I think what had happened is I might have just knocked the microphone cable or something coming out of my iPad. And it probably was just like, all right, that's me done. And I never looked back at it. Because I've got the recording on my iPad, but I also use my iPad to look at all the shit that we talk about. And it normally goes on in the background and I check on it periodically, but not so much. So, but I think it was a good thing because we had that nice gear that Maddie let us use when we were in Gambia. And we'd looked at getting some of that for ourselves, but it's quite expensive. And with 6 listeners, it's not really worth it. But after that incident and Black Friday, I was like, surely there's other things. It's not just the top of the line. And there is. So we found something that suits our speed a little bit more. Got it for a good deal. It's a portable thing as well. So we can bring it into the studio, aka your car, when we actually get together. And we can bring it on trips. And I think it's going to work out all right. So good things to come. And hopefully, some better quality audio. Maybe even a few, what do they call it when there's sound on a button? You can just push a button, it plays the sound. We're getting half legit.
Hey, look out. Episode 86, and here we are, buying some gear.
Exactly. So hopefully that'll come sometime soon. The bad thing about Black Friday is that after you buy shit, they're just like, cool, we'll ship that sometime.
Like, yeah.
We'll get to you. We have so many orders. So who knows when we get it, but it should be good. Did you get any good Black Friday deals yourself?
Nah, nothing. I'm not that way inclined. I'd rather just pay overs right on Christmas Eve. Never know when it is either. Like this thing, like Ella called it like 3 Fridays early and and like every shop seems to be running with their own Black Friday. And then Ella actually rolled into High Point on Black Friday, oblivious to the fact that it was Black Friday. And she's like, why the fuck is this joint so busy? And then when she got in there, she's like, oh, now it's actually Black Friday. What's the go?
Big. There you go. I picked up a Christmas present for the missus and a couple of things for me, this pod recorder thing. So it was a good one for me. But even a disc from, what do you want to call it? The Frisbee shop. So... Look Beautiful. At me go.
Yep.
Oh, a lot of stuff was announced in the last week or so. The Disc Golf Pro Tour Player Awards. came out. Did you happen to have a gander at any of that?
It flew under my radar, but your potty run sheet got me onto it, and I've definitely hit up the website since and had a little bit of a gander, yeah.
So I've had a look at the comeback player of the year, and for the FBO, it was Evelina Salonen, and MPO was Gavin Rathbun, and immediately they don't sit right with me. Am I crazy? Like, what's Gavin coming back from? And isn't, like, what's Evelina coming back from? Was she not, like, top 10 last year? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Or was she just shit last year? I remember missing a lot of putts, but she wasn't that bad that she could be the comeback player of the year, right?
She was pretty bad. She was pretty bad. And she choked some pretty big events, and, you know, did not, you know, consistently podium or top five. It's the Gavin one that gets me more. The Evelina one I'm kind of comfortable with. I don't know, like, in the FBO field, it's so tiny. I don't know if not Evelina, I don't know who. But in the MPO, I'm like, well, but not only what has he come back from, but, like, what has he done? Like, I don't get the Gavin selection either.
Yeah, I feel like he had to have done something to come back to it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. What about most improved player? Have you got any of this stuff in front of you or not?
Yeah, I do. I've got it all up in front of me. You just got to rotate it as you go. So most improved, happy to see Joey Buckets. Like, that makes loads of sense. And then I guess it's maybe a flaw in their system that, like, yeah, Evelina is also the comeback, also the most improved.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You can't be comeback and most improved. That's so dumb. Like, it's most improved is like you weren't as good, now you're good. You can't be like you were good, then bad, now good again. So take both. Like, get fucked. Crazy. Yeah. They're losing their shit on this. And especially they got Silver Saren in there as like an honorable mention. That's a no-brainer for me. I feel like plucky upstart last year to winning on the tour. Like, done. Sign me up. Don't give it to Evelina. That's crazy.
Yeah, good call.
But yeah, Joey Buckets, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, exactly. What about Rookie of the Year? You happy with the FPO there?
Yeah, Emily Weatherman, I think she stood out for sure. She got a win, right? I reckon she got a win somewhere, yeah.
I tipped her, you might remember.
Yeah, I do remember now. Yeah, she got a win. She got two podiums. You can't complain with that at all. And the MPO one's always hard because the rookies are always like, best they did was like 100th place. But yes, he won in Europe. So I guess you take that.
Yep, you would.
Yeah. So yeah, MPO one's always hard. But no, I'm not mad at that. And player of the year, I think one was pretty obvious and one was a bit contentious. But what do you think with that?
Well, yeah, Gannon Burr, absolute standout year. And then you obviously had Missy v. Kristen. Tricky. Kristen had 7 wins. Missy had the 6. They both had 1 major each. Kristen's average place was 2.5, but Missy's was 5.6. There's actually not many categories that Missy gets the chocolates. There's only one, and that is cash made. Missy made more cash this year than Kristen.
Yeah, I've got, they had a comparison that one of the disc golf pages put up between Missy, Evelina, and Kristen. And yeah, Evelina has the 2 major victories. The other have 1. Elite Series, Kristen and Missy have 5, Evelina 2. The Pro Tour standings, Missy's first. Average finish, Kristen Sitar leads that 2.6. Missy out of the 3 is actually worst at 5.3. Event rating, average event rating, Kristen's at 996. The others are in 980s or low 980s. Worst finish, Kristen's was 8th. The others were 15 and 22. Kristen never missed the podium. She never missed the top 10. And she had 80% podium finishes compared to 40-ish percent for the other two. So it does look a little Kristen-y, but I'm not mad at it. I don't think any of it in my head is enough to stand out and just be like, well, this person has to win. And if we're splitting hairs, my hair split is Pro Tour standings and Missy's first. So I'm not mad at it. I get that people think it's a bit contentious that Tatar did more, or you know, you could say she did more in less. But it's a season. You got to show up for the season. And if you didn't stand out, I'm going with the person who had won the most points.
Yeah, fair enough. You make anything of the community champion?
Oh, I didn't even see that. What is the community champion?
I couldn't tell you. New in 2024, the DGPT Community Champion Award honors those who have made significant contributions to strengthen and support the disc golf community. This award is given to individuals who demonstrate exceptional commitment to growing and enriching the sport through their efforts both on and off the course. Okay. So there was a FPO winner and an MPO winner.
Yeah, I'm seeing Kristen Tatar in the FPO and Paul McBeth. In the FPO and Paul McBeth in the MPO. Sure, I don't know. I don't know enough about what happens off the field, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they can have it. What do you think?
Nothing. Kristen's pulling in Porsche sponsorships. And, you know, Estonia's going bonkers for the game. And Paul McBeth has the Paul McBeth Foundation, which does lots of cool things, including, I did see throughout the year, they there's no disc golf stronghold in New York City. It's like barely even, it's an afterthought in New York City, but Paul McBeth Foundation has installed the first legit course in New York City this year. So, and they do a load of things in the wider world. So why not?
Yeah, cool. No, it sounds good. I think all big sports have that. There's always some sort of, community award in the AFL and NFL, NBA, all that stuff too. So, yeah, why not disc golf? So, good on them. But I really do not know enough about outside of the game. No no mention for Brody or Yuli. They weren't...
Yeah. And what about, like... me? Yuli, not even an honourable mention, I don't think, in, like, the... most improved or comeback. Yeah, like, I don't know which way he falls, but, you know, did have an awesome, particularly start to the season. His average finish would have been way higher than his previous average finish. So surprised to not at least see an honorable mention in there as well.
That's very true. I would have liked to have seen that ahead of fucking Gather and Raph, but he went. Do you go from, like, bottom middle to middle middle? Like, I don't know. That confuses me.
Yeah.
What doesn't confuse me is the Golden City Classic. So, it is early January. I don't have the dates in front of me just yet, but 11th, 12th-ish.
And yeah, correct.
It's going to be one round a day at each one of the big courses there. So, first round on the Saturday will be at Vic Park, and then Sunday... will be at Mount Xavier. It is a PDGA B tier, which means that there is like $2,200 on the line for the pro field minimum. And I don't think there are many pros signed up at the moment. So I might even have to have a look at that when it comes a bit closer to the date. I might be making my MPO debut.
That'd be good to see. Unfortunately, I am up on the river or somewhere. I don't know where I am, but I am away. Reese hit me with the dates, a few weeks ago, and I was able to check the calendar, as in ask my wife, and we are away. Currently only 5 in MPO, looking ripe for the picking, with Ryan Dodia being the highest rated player currently, Aiden being the highest rated player currently in the field. And in MP40, I hope Daz is listening, but I worded him up on the weekend about this. In MP40, Ruben Berg's the only one sitting there at the moment.
Not bad. That's 2,200 split 6 ways at the moment. If yeah. I am Emma Winkworth or Georgia Carroll, I am very quickly changing to FBO.
Yeah.
Why would you not? Like, if I'm Megan Joy or Emily Ward, I'm very quickly changing to FBO. we'll have to keep an eye on that. Hopefully, we can pump those numbers up, because that'd be pretty dope, getting to play both those courses. So, I have not signed up yet, but that's just laziness. I will get on board for sure.
Yeah, and I understand that if I've read this correctly, they're looking to, because they're just obviously going to play the one round for the one day at Vic Park, they're going to pimp it out. It's not going to be yellow. It's not going to be blue. It's going to be something a bit pimped out for Vic Park, and then it will be just the Xavier ever growing and ever establishing 18.
Sick. No, I'm keen. I think it's going to be an awesome weekend. So, get on it, everybody.
Now, I need to segue this just before we move on.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the DGBT awards going out, we need to start thinking about our awards for the year. And I just wanted to obviously throw it out there that obviously this will be TD'd by none other than TD of the Year Recircuit. So we know this will be an awesome event. Get around the Golden City Classic. And if you've got any nominations for Thrallers Awards, and that means you can also nominate categories, please hit us up.
Yeah, definitely do that. Great segue, Chris. It's hard for us to think of this shit, so it'd be much easier if you just told us a category and who you think wins it. We'll take that. We're all about self-aggrandization.
Sure.
And we want it from our listeners as well. So if you want to give yourself a little G up, then do it, and we'll get on it.
Yeah. And maybe the best maybe we need to get a category going for like best socials work by myself, like which or yourself. Like you've definitely hit us with a few memes. I've thrown it out there, but I was particularly proud of my snapshot of Aiden trying to give Ryan shit, and I just put that out there. That was some of my prouder work.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to find so many awards to try to give it ourselves. And yeah, we'll have meme of the year. So we'll get on that. I had something come across my desk in the Adelaide Disc Golf discussion. Something really caught my eye. And in Mount Gambier, they had something called Interschool Disc Golf. And you being a teacher, a vice principal even, interschool sport, you're all around it. Have you ever seen interschool disc golf?
No, never seen it. I did see something on Facebook about it at Gambier. A few schools represented. Saw them teeing off from one of the holes there. How good? How good? I mean, I literally have a course within 100 meters of my school. So let's get this going. And obviously there's a couple of courses on school grounds now, you know, out in, where is it? Yarra
Junction.
Thank you. And obviously somewhere down in Geelong as well. There's enough going on here. We got to get this going.
Yeah. The post says, we are thrilled to announce that Grant High School has emerged victorious in the Lower Southeast District Golf Zone competition. Lower Southeast Disc Golf Zone competition, competing against 10 talented teams from local schools. What the fuck? 10 different teams fronted up with their disc golf squad, and one team came victorious. I'm like, I love it. They got a shield and everything. So, it's fucking dope.
Legit.
Looks
real
like
legit.
There's been 5 different engravings on this shield. Like, how have we missed this?
Yeah, true.
So cool. So that was like the coolest thing I'd seen in a while, I think.
Yeah, that's massive. We'll have to, we get it going in Victoria, we'll soon we'll have national school champions.
Jesus Christ, how good.
Yeah.
Speaking of national champions, in between my weekend of nationals and the chump weekend of nationals, they had the double nationals in Molong. So not too many people from my weekend stuck around, but plenty from weekend two came in. And looks like it was a bit of a rip-up. in the top division, which was 1780 plus combined rating. And if I'm reading it right, none of them hit that cap. So I don't know how this figured that out. But anyway, in the top division, we had Tom Rugg and Kev Costa taking it out with a negative one. They were the only team to go under par. This is the 24-hole AM layout version, which just goes to show that that course was going to be playing tough, but who knows what the conditions were like on that day.
Yes. But,
yeah, negative one for Ruggie and Costa. And not too much else quality to speak of in Div 1. Some good names doing some not great so work. So very surprised that Cade Ashton and Charlie Buffin down the bottom, Bron Chirat as well with his mate Brock not doing so good. But in Div 2, a couple of few names, we had Ian Whittaker and Taylor Zuschner taking it out. But the people we're talking about in equal second place, Eamesy and our very own Taron Anderson with a plus one, one stroke behind the leaders. So good shit there by Eamesy and Taz. Second place at Doubles Nationals. Not bad.
It would have been good enough for second place in Div 1 as well.
100%. 100%.
And yeah, at a quick glance, not catching many other Eagles, but we do have Anthony Pearsall sitting in there playing with Michael Troiani. So well done to those two fellas. They got 12th. And I'm not seeing many other Eagles.
Team Bespoke Discs. Speaking of which, man, I forgot to ask my old man about this. He was telling me how Bespoke made some top for him.
Yeah, he's got a t-shirt.
Yeah, he got a t-shirt made up. So
yeah,
I never saw it. How did you see it?
He put it up on Facebook.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. So that's cool. I'm pretty excited for that.
Put up a big post. He's like big time now. Mr. Brunsting's big time now. You know, those Tim Bowen style posts. You know, here's how I went. Here's my tournament recap. Blah, blah, blah. Look.
Was it on that? Because I did start. I saw that. I was like, why would I read this shit?
Yeah, it was one of those. It was one of those ones. And I saw first event representing Bespoke Disc Golf.
There you go. Yeah, he's a big time guy, sponsored player. So
yeah, huge.
Well done to Bespoke locking down a big name like Jeff Brunsting.
Big name in the MA50. They've done well, and I'm sure we'll be checking in with how he went in a moment.
Very much so. Before we get to the Nationals, I got to give a shout out to Jay Hercock. I had told you that we did an ace throw off at our Nationals and no one hit it. They put like 100 baskets out. We had all the best players in Australia throwing off of this thing. No one could hit the ace and the pot got fat, real, real fat. Well, they didn't keep it for themselves. They put that fat pot up for grabs for the AMs and they fattened it up even more. And Jay Hercock hits the ace for $1,185.
You'll be okay.
Bang. That is so good. $1,100 throw. And I've heard that he ended up giving some of it back to, I don't know, go back into something to do with the tournament, which cannot be commended. Take that cash, Jay. Silly.
No, yeah. Amateur hour. Amateur hour right there. Not
commended.
Yeah. But oh well, live and learn.
Yeah, I was very close to giving him a spotlight and then a not light for hitting it and then giving even a cent of it back. But I thought I better not. all right, let's have a look at the actual Nationals that went off. We had a fair few divisions playing and we had eyes on MJ15 thinking that Joe Paul could possibly have the best score of the weekend. And he get off to early starts being in the MJ15, but he never really quite set the tone. He put some good scores up, but never set the world on fire. Smashed his division, don't get me wrong. Still a wonderful score. He finished with -2 overall and 18 strokes ahead of our very own Tobias Webber. So great work to Joe Paul, but we were hoping for some real special stuff, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. And so was our social followers. Put it up on socials. Do we think he'll get it done? Is he the field favourite for the for the weekend, and people came in hot. Not many people came in no, particularly before it teed off. A couple of cheeky no's after it teed off, but they don't count. So yeah, a few people were expecting huge things. Didn't necessarily transpire, but he's still national champion.
There we go. In FA4, Lauren Tuvey got it done over Ash Dooley. What about the MA3? We had a few of our people in there. How'd that shake out? MA3, yes. Even.
Yeah. So obviously you got David Gannon, you got Eamesy, which we still own. You got Mitch Evers and a couple other, obviously Ballarat crews and whatnot, trickled throughout. So we were, yeah, keeping a very close eye on MA3. Mitch Evers obviously had a solid event at Eruption, did he not?
Yes. Yeah, yep. Got into second, I feel like.
Yeah. So
second to Jason. No, he was second.
Did not get out of the gates well. He shot a +7 round one, and Eames, he shot a +8. Mitch Evers went birdie three round one. Round two, he found a few birdies, but unfortunately found a few double bogeys as well and shot a +3. But to close it out, he found a lot of birdies and not many bogeys and managed a -4 round, which was 927, well above his rating. And he ended up pulling off another bridesmaid performance. Mitch Evers got second. Eamesy finished in fourth. And David Gannon in the end found himself in 17th.
There you go. We had Lewis Panhol there as well with a solid +1 finish to get him up into 11th place. He was a little off the mark, but a good final round, got it done. But yeah, they could not catch Jeff Helbrin, who I'm not familiar with, but just played some very good disc golf and takes it out by 3 strokes. So well done. He's there, Jeffy boy.
Yeah, Jeff, he comes from the school of Daz. You know, he lives in North Ryde, New South Wales, but the flag he associates is with maple syrup, and I'm not here for it. If you wish to be Australian, please change your flag.
There you go. In the FA2, we had another bridesmaid, Anita Weber, there, a fair chunk behind Sarah Shempness, who had a very, very good final round to cap off what was a great tournament for her. So well done, Sarah, and very close, Anita. Yeah, definitely commended, taking down Margaret Trail, so who's a proven winner.
There you go. I'm getting the vibe that Sarah Champness, either not currently registered or just recently, yeah, very, very recently registered. So newish to the game, no rating is what I'm getting at. And so welcome to the game. What a way to make your mark.
Yeah, very Joel-esque vibes, right? Was Joel, yeah, or Hardy? Yeah, Joel just comes into the game with a national championship under the belt.
Yeah.
In the FA40, it was Sue Donnelly, pretty comfortable over Carol Hartley, and just behind her was Tan Behan. So, well done there, Tan, on the podium finish, but Sue Donnelly just too good, couldn't be caught. And a big shout out to Sharon Costa there. She did the TD work in weekend one, so that they all did all the work, but she had her name down as TD in week one so that Kev could play, and then Kev has done the opposite here so that Sharon could play. So power of work both those guys have done and played. So well done.
Huge.
The old men, the MA50s. The premier division, I would normally say, but we'll save a little special one for last. How are they looking?
Yeah, so big field, right? We got like 29 MA50 players, which is huge. And we said before the event that there were many names in the mix. And In the end, it turned out to be a bit of a one-horse race and a race to see who else could fill up the podium, because Josh Conroy finished the event under the card, final round -3, and he just played clean. He just played a clean weekend, super consistent. I'm seeing the one double bogey for the entire weekend, and that is all, and a bunch of birdies. So finishing with basically a 9:20 event. Well done, Josh Conroy. Closely followed by our mate, Kerry Edwards. You've got Andrew Wisniewski, which you just think there's like a flock of Wisniewskis that play the game, but I'm standing by that that's Reese's dad. And Nick Hall, familiar name, and just scraping into the top 10, none other than Mr. Bespoke himself. Beating Anthony Pearsall by four strokes, that's nice, is Mr. Jeff Brunsteen.
Yeah, he just never quite fired. I was messaging him over the weekend, of course, and not a bad start with round one. Had him well in the hunt, and he thought he could clean up round two. Day two, the weather conditions were just terrible, and he got a little sucked into that. Day three, he was very confident he was going to turn it all around, and it was his only birdie-free day, so I'm not sure what happened exactly there. Bit of a rough start. He got some words of encouragement from his son, and he cleared it up in the end. But yeah, just couldn't quite fire. Played about his rating, or a little above his rating. But as he said, I think in his post, that you got to do better than that at Nationals. So a bit disappointing. But yeah, he had a crack. Still top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Did Terry Bowen play both weekends?
He sure did.
Huge. Was he the only
one?
He
sure did. Now, well, I know Nick Hall did.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sure who else was around. It's probably this division would be the one that that had it the most. But yeah, definitely Terry and Nick. So big shout out to those guys. And yeah, it'd be cool to hear their thoughts actually on the difference between the two courses.
Yeah.
All right, the MA2. If you haven't heard it by now, what are you doing? Melbourne has another national champion, Kalyn Hieramas, big time. Huge final round. His final round of Neg 9, better than the whole rest of the fields, 3 days combined. Just elite work there. 965 rated, an ace on hole 3 to get his day going. A million other birdies. That's some good disc golf. And he wins by 5 strokes over Tim Wright and Michael Dooley. What do you reckon about Kalyn?
From Chase Card, just cool things. We know it's got it in him. He did message me after round one saying that, you know, he's in the mix and he's going for the W and he wanted to take down Joe Paul. And wowee, boy did he ever. Yeah, great event. Well done to the skinny Sideshow Bob.
Skinny Sideshow Bob. Very interested to see where he's going to land next year. This might pump his head up just enough to bypass my division and go on MPO. Would not be mad at that if he did that. But we shall see. We shall see. Yeah, some other names in there as well. Who we got? Maybe not. Tommy Jankar in 12th. He was looking all right. And then I think a poor final round maybe.
Yeah, plus three final round.
Yeah, first round he was up and about. He was right there with Kalyn and then dropped off a little bit after that. So a bit disappointing. Tim Stevenson as well. I thought he would have fired a couple more bullets than he did. A few DNFs. I don't know what happened with Ruggie. Rug played last weekend as well. So he did the double up, but he only managed the first round. He got the doubles in as well. So, yeah, not sure. Maybe just arm had fallen off by then. And Ben Kennedy was the leader after round one, a huge neg 8 first round, and then a big drop off in round two, and it turns out he had done his knee, is what I heard from Kalyn. So,
oh wow,
yeah, that sucks. Not sure how he did it. Sucks. We don't like seeing that, but worked out well for our boy.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so that's Nationals again for another year. I can't believe I've got to wait. Oh, I've probably got to wait 2 years. I don't think I'm going to Perth. It's in fucking Perth next year.
Yeah, I don't even know where that is.
Yeah, well, I think it's in Mundaring. Well, yeah, I know it's at Mundaring. So that new course that they...
I don't know where Perth is.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know that I need to leave now, I think, to get there.
Yeah.
To get warmed up. So I don't know. The last couple of years, I've gone that day earlier to get in that good practice and just feel good, and I've enjoyed that process. And I feel like I'd have to leave on like Monday or something to, and then coming back, I'd get back here on a Wednesday or something, the way the stupid flights work. So I don't know. Might just be a Gambia November for me. We'll see.
Oh, but, I will investigate early. Yeah. The only way I could ever justify a Perth trip is if I could turn it into a work trip. Which would take some swindle on my behalf, but I do not mind a good swindle. So I might see what sort of seeds I can sow.
I would love to see how you turn going to Perth into a vice principal trip. Does Melton have a sister school out in Perth somewhere?
We got some things.
Perth's jankiest suburb.
Yeah, we got some things.
We got some things. Oh, there you go. Well, if you went, I'd probably go. I get pretty extreme FOMO.
Yeah.
One thing I'll have a bit of FOMO for this weekend is the Rudolph riot. Not going to that. I think I might have potentially just spat the dummy once I realized I was not capable of winning the Victor.
Yes.
Nah, there's been a lot of disc golf on, a big thing, and a gym Christmas party, and I just thought, stuff it. It's not worth driving to Geelong twice. But it is for everyone else's going, and I'm excited that there's a pretty decent-sized field, 76 players there. Who have you got your eye on that?
Yeah. Looking at some of these fields, it's a ring-a-ding-ding. There's a lot of players making the trip. Paddy Robinson, obviously, fresh off his eruption, stellar partial performance. I'm sure he's keen. But you got Tim Bowen. It's a level playing field. Obviously, they've had like a league day down there, but that's about it. Then you've got the Melbourne crew. You've got Ryan Hart in there. Look, I'm going to do the same thing I do every event, and I'm going to back in Ryan Hart. It doesn't really pay off very often for me, but I just think that kid can sling.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's definitely a level playing field if you ignore Paddy. But I think he might show up. So he's head and shoulders above the rest of them. So I'll take Paddy all day. But yeah, MA1's looking tasty. You got Matt Hill, Ethan Lewis, who, if you're unfamiliar, the man is very good at disc golf. Chris Scott, Penn Lu are all going there. Sven as well. That's a good one. And there's a big battle for Division 2 in the Disc Golf Victoria Tour up for grabs between Penn and Nath Parrish. So some big things need to happen there. I think off the top of my head, Penn is slightly ahead, but I think it can change.
Yeah, nah, I think Parrish is, but I could be wrong as well. But how good Sam Barnett's rating? I know... can't wait to see how UK inflated that is.
Yeah, I think it's reasonably. Well, he was killing it over there, so who knows?
Let's find out.
He did come back for that one round of league day or something. It was not great, so.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see how well he goes in the mix because there's some big names there. So, looking forward to that one. MA40, the usual suspect battle there. A resurgent J. Ross. I could not tip him after how well he's been playing.
100%. We got to tip J. Ross. Has he got a W since his resurge, though? I feel like he's had a few podiums.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got a W, but he's played in some big events.
Yeah.
He's played in some big events. So, yeah, since the resurgence, he got 11th at Nationals. He got 4th at Eruption, which is huge. And second at the Kingston City Classic, which might have been when right before I gave him shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to back him in there. Sorry, Taryn, but Jay's on fire.
Yeah.
And the old men, any one of those Melbourne guys, hopefully will get it done for sure. Plenty in there to choose from.
Yeah. Like to see Mike get this one. But Carey's probably sitting at the favourite at the moment.
MA2 pretty light on. Normally, it's been getting a bit light on actually. Geelong tournament, but the MA2 field has been diminishing, and I can't help think that it's got a lot to do with you calling it a fake division.
But I stand by it. When you find players like Wayne Govan, going, do you know what? I can have a piece of that. This bloke's played MA4 all year, and he's looking at this division going, I'll take a piece of that. So that's all you really need to know about MA2. It's
sniff by you. Wayne wins it. Let's go, Wayne.
Yeah, me too. No, I'm saying you got MA4 players jumping in there going, probably going to take the chocolates.
Well, a lot of work to be done by those boys. In the FA2, Anita Webber trying to get some magic in after a Nationals disappointment, but Emma Winkworth will be standing in her way, I think.
Yeah, ring a ding ding do. That's Alice will be trying to upset the apple cart there as well. So, looking forward to the FA2 shaking out.
And we got a bit of a parked battle happening in MA3. Matty Faz, Kyle Herbertson, Ash Wiedner, Jace as well, but we're not so worried about him. all in the mix with a lot of other familiar Melbourne names. So this might be the most fun division to watch, I think. The MA3 might be where my eyes are drawn mostly to this weekend.
Yep, love that. Max Tats, does he have two solid rounds in him? He's pulling out like one good round at last few events, Max.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see if he can put two together. He'd be up there.
It could be. That'd be an interesting one. And I don't know, I see two Hal Grahams in MA4, and I think my basic rule is, what, if I see a Hal Graham, I tip a Hal Graham. So I'm going to go for one of them.
Fair enough. I'm going for Matt Mutter.
Yeah, sweet. MA4 always, mixed bag. So who knows? But I think it's going to be cool. By all reports, the course is great.
Yes.
I'm very disappointed not to be able to play it because of how good I hear it is. But, yeah, can't play everything.
True.
Yeah, that'll be the last event for the year, I think. I think we're going to be smashing out a few more of those Summer Cup Revival Series things early next year too. So keep an eye out for that, and register for the Golden City Classic.
Yeah, please do.
Have you got any trollers guarantees?
Yep. Just eyeing off, obviously, the Rudolph. They're gonna come from there. And I will guarantee that Ryan Dr will podium.
No, that's your troller's guarantee. I like it.
That's our troller's guarantee.
My troller's guarantee. Mine goes straight to Matty Faz. I'm doing it again. He is the highest rated player by a decent margin in MA3. And I just don't think he could lose it from there. My troller's guarantee is that Matty Faz wins comfortably.
Yeah, nah, good one. Absolutely, that's a tenner.
Comfortable victory.
Yeah.
All right, you got any spotlight, not light?
Yeah, obviously we need to mention James Honeyman. And thank you for chucking on your run sheet to remind us. But we love the feedback. As you mentioned earlier, I think we are averaging about 6 listeners at the moment. And Honeyman is one of them. And hit us up. To just send us a really lovely message about our shout out, obviously the love we gave him following the eruption, and it filled my cup. That was my reply to him as well. I said, well, that fills my cup. You are obviously deserving of such kind words, and if only 3 people hear the episode, I'm glad you were one of them. and so thanks, honey, for the love. That's my spotlight. What about you?
It's funny you mentioned that. Mine goes in a similar vein, and I should have written this down. I'm so bad at writing this stuff down. But it goes to Ryan Nicholson and Lee Thompson and whoever the third was. I'm sorry, I've forgotten who it was. But Ryan Nicholson came up to me the other weekend, and he listened to the pod that that we recorded at Nationals, and at some stage, I was mentioned how we only have 3 listeners, and there was 3 of them listening, and they were like, "That's us! That was us!" And they all got pretty excited, and they let me know. So that made me pretty happy. So spotlight goes to those guys for being our only 3 listeners.
Thanks, fellas. you got any not lights?
Nah, it's hard to find not lights at Nationals. If anything, we already covered it. The only thing I've seen happen this week that I find ridiculous is the comeback player of the year stuff. the Gather Rathbun and then, yeah, Evelina winning both those. I don't really understand that. Nothing else I can think of really jumps out at me. It's hard to be mad at Nationals time.
Fair enough. I found one. And look, this person has, I hate to admit it, but this person has had top dot lights before from me. And they found themselves on the receiving end of another one. And I just don't understand how 25 minutes into a podcast, you can just stop. You can just stop recording. You have to cop my not light. But honorable mention spotlight, good editing by you. Well done to sit around and talk to yourself for another 20 minutes and put out a half decent pod in the end and chuck a nice little slice in at the end about me. So honorable mention spotlight, but also absolute not light for being a spud.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. I've just checked. We've got all, it's all recorded this time, so we're good to go. I've made the change. I've got the iPad in landscape mode so that my gut cannot interfere with the cord that goes gets plugged in.
Beautiful.
Let's bring on the new tech and see if I can manage to fuck that up.
Look out.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Peace out.